Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 220 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on June the 1st, 2021. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Pete. We're two episodes away from episode 222. 222.
Huh, okay.
We gotta do something special for that one.
Are you like a numbers guy? Is that like a symmetry thing for you?
Maybe it is. Maybe it's my OCD just kind of like, you know, coming to life. Folks, okay. We are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
What is going on, my friend?
How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's you know, we had a much sunnier Memorial Day weekend here in Florida than you guys did in New Jersey.
Yeah, you know, yesterday was beautiful, actually.
Really?
The Saturday, Sunday were complete washouts.
Yeah, but I heard that, like, Memorial Day weekend was actually colder than Christmas, even Christmas Day last year.
I believe
year.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday were chilly. Yesterday was nice. I was outside all day.
Oh, that's good. Glad things were going well over there at the Mandel Family Compound. But we got a lot of Disney to get through today, because we got to get through the news, and then we are... Our walking tour has reemerged, so I hope you're ready for this.
Well, let's do it.
Hope you've been stretching, doing some of those stretches.
It's like that first day on a Disney trip. Like, I guess I'll find out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
When it's over.
Let's see how prepared I am. All right. Well, folks, we're going to get into the news, as always, brought to you by our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, so let's jump into the worldwide news. All right, so big news is actually, it's not Disney news, but it's also Disney news at the same time. So Disney is holding firm on mask mandates despite competitive changes at both Universal Orlando and SeaWorld. So what am I talking about here? Universal Orlando has dropped all mask mandates for fully vaccinated guests visiting its Central Florida theme park. Same with SeaWorld. The Disney World competitor has updated its website with new information, which says that face coverings are no longer required for fully vaccinated guests indoors or outdoors. Now, obviously, Universal's going on the honor system for that. To, you know, you have to, basically, they're like, oh, people would lie about being vaccinated just to not wear a mask, right? People are good, right? People are, like, decent, right? Right, guys? Like,
could you imagine what it would be like, though, getting into that park if you had to present a vaccination card?
You can't. Like, you really can't, like, in today's day and age, do something like that. So,
honestly, even if you had to, even if that was, like, the rule, it doesn't matter. After you go inside, I mean, are they checking everywhere? Like,
yeah, they're checking every 10 steps.
Are they giving you bracelets if you have a vaccination card? Like, how's it working? Like,
yeah.
It's either honor system or nothing, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it kind of has to go by the honor system. All right. So then it says, it remains to be seen if Disney will respond with a similar policy update. Now, like, you remember when Universal and when the CDC released its new guidelines that people didn't need masks anymore indoors or outdoors, Universal responded with no outdoor masks pretty quickly, and then Disney followed suit within 12 hours. And
right.
So you were the one that actually sent this news to me late last week as we were, you know, as it was breaking. And I was like, well, let's see if Disney responds within 12 hours, then it'll happen. If they don't, then it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I just wonder how long that while is.
If you had to guess, what would you say? Like, do you think into the summer, into the fall?
I think we have a couple months at least.
And do you think this is going to impact the balance of power at all here? Do you think more people are going to go to Universal now because they're like, well, I don't have to wear a mask anywhere there as opposed to Disney where I have to wear a mask inside?
I'll tell you what, it's definitely an encouraging thing for Universal.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was going to Disney and wasn't sure if I wanted to do a couple days at Universal, that might sway me.
Let me tell you something. I was at SeaWorld yesterday. I took my girlfriend for Memorial Day, had a free ticket and whatever. SeaWorld, not only do they not have masks, I mean, no one cares anymore. Like, it is just, there were the Shamu Stadium, the Dolphin Stadium, all packed with people. Packed with people. Like, it was basically like pre-pandemic, you know, very crowded, right, too. Still had to make a park reservation to go. Which SeaWorld's park reservation system is, I mean, janky, but I mean, that's to be expected because it's SeaWorld. Like, right, you have to actually, like, bring a printout of your reservation with you.
Really?
Yeah, it's super weird.
Like, not super just on weird. Your phone.
I mean, well, it could be on your phone, yeah, but you have to, okay, bring, like, proof of your reservation, as opposed to Disney, where, like, the system just knows that you have the reservation.
Right.
Okay. So here is the full updated safety guidelines for Universal. In accordance with CDC guidelines, face coverings are no longer required for fully vaccinated guests indoors or outdoors. While we do not require proof of vaccination, we do expect those who are not fully vaccinated to wear face coverings while indoors. Good luck with that. We encourage all guests to keep a safe distance between travel parties, and we remain focused on maintaining the highest cleanliness and sanitation standards. Well, that would be a first for Universal, right? No, I'm kidding. Universal's pretty clean. It's not like it's SeaWorld. We're walking into SeaWorld, and there's, like, garbage cans just overflowing with stuff. And this is, it's noon, mind you. It's noon.
Wonderful.
12 noon, and garbage cans are just overflown with trash. And I'm just like, wow. Like,
one day
overflown to the point
where
the trash is spilling out onto the ground. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Like, one day you're going to have to tell me, what is there even to do at SeaWorld? I mean, I've never even considered it.
It's look, the annual pass is so cheap that it's like, why not? And
is it less than $50
a month?
No, total.
Oh no, I think it's like around $100 a month, like $100 in total. But yeah, I mean, it's like $15 to $20 a month. And you know, I periodically get like free passes that I can bring people with. So when friends and family come into town and they don't want to spend Disney or Universal money, I'm like, hey, I've got this free pass to SeaWorld, or I've got 50% off of SeaWorld, and then we go.
And then they've never come back to visit you ever again.
Correct. They're like, why did you take me to this janky theme park that imprisons intelligent creatures and makes them perform for our amusement?
Now, that's so funny.
You know, SeaWorld, I will say, SeaWorld does a lot of really good conservation work.
Yeah, throw I mean, that that's their thing.
Yeah, I mean, and they are, and if you don't know about that, trust me, if you go, you'll know, because they smack you in the face with it, like, from the second you walk in to the second you leave. But, like, little things at SeaWorld bother me, like, their photo pass people won't take a picture with your phone.
Is that a pandemic thing?
No, that's a thing, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure they've never done that.
Okay.
He's like, oh, sorry, we can only use our cameras. Like, Disney will at least, like, the PhotoPass photographer will take their pictures, but they'll also take pictures with your phone if you want them to.
Right.
And, you know, Disney is, like, it's a roll of the dice whether you're going to be asked to show ID for your annual pass for parking. You know, like, to, because Disney doesn't care about the $25. SeaWorld, like, wants your passport. Like, okay, so here are the latest updates for your visit to Universal. Face coverings are no longer required. We do not require proof of vaccinations. Guests who are not fully vaccinated are still expected to wear face coverings. We encourage all guests to keep a safe distance and will remain focused on sanitation standards. All right, the first commercial has been released for Disney's 50th anniversary celebration. Did you see this?
I did see it.
It looks like another glowing blue sky beam, like from every movie from the last like 15 years.
Yep.
Disney has today unveiled its first commercial for its upcoming 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World beginning October 1st, 2021. The commercial features the Beacons of Magic that will transform each of the Disney World theme park icons after dark, and in addition includes 18 hidden Easter eggs, the glass slipper from Cinderella and the enchanted rose from Beauty and the Beast. Okay, so what do we think that the, like, is it going to look the way it looked in that commercial? Because that was really weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's amazing because, like, had this been anywhere else, I would have been like, well, there's no way it's going to look like that. But with Disney, I'm just kind of like, I mean, it might.
Right.
Like, all right. So, I mean,
listen, I'm still even just weirded out that, like, we're using we're using like Tower of Terror as like the park icon. It just,
I mean,
still
it's been that way
me.
Since the hat came down.
I know. I'm just telling you, it's just still weird to me.
It makes sense because it's, you know, it's big, it's visible from everywhere, and it's got Hollywood on it.
Kevin, there are days I've gone to Hollywood Studios and never even walked down that street.
Oh, 100%. That I do that all the time.
I mean, it's insane. Like that, like that's the park icon, and I won't see it my entire trip.
I mean, the Chinese Theater really should be the park icon.
Of course, it should be.
It's in the center of everything. It's, you know,
it's the former icon,
but it never has been. And I wonder if maybe it's not the former icon. It's never been the icon.
They never had that back in the day?
No, the Eiffel Tower was the icon back in the day.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The water tower that you had to like be in a very specific area to even see.
Yeah, maybe that's their thing. You just can't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if it's like a likeness right with Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Hmm.
That they wouldn't be able to put it like on all their like... or maybe it's just because it's not unique.
Listen, they definitely used it in advertising in the past, because I can remember seeing the MGM Studios with the theater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I doubt it's a likeness thing. It probably just isn't something...
Because it's not unique. It's a thing that exists in the world. So, good news for cast members. They are actually getting a few days where they can go to the theme parks. That has not been happening much lately.
Nice.
Yes. Disney has lifted more blockout dates for cast members for the month of June. Since the parks reopened back in July, cast member availability to enter the parks using a main entrance pass and cast ID self-admission has been extremely restricted, with no dates available for May 2021. Availability now includes just 8 days in June at Epcot and Animal Kingdom. Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios currently remain blocked out for the entire month of June for cast members. The addition of more cast member admission dates comes as Disney continues to increase capacity at the Walt Disney World theme parks. Disney CEO Bob Chapek has recently said that we can expect to see low double-digit increases in attendance over the next couple of months. So, thus saith the Chapek.
All right.
Good for the cast members. I want them to be able to go more.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of, you know, the joy I would think of working there is, you know, having your love of Disney and going to the park.
For the last year, it hasn't been. They have not been able to go. They haven't been able to get people in. You know, it's just been, which, I mean, I get with 35%, 25% capacity.
Right.
So Disney is increasing transportation capacity up to full once again.
Okay.
As COVID-19 restrictions continue to be eased, Disney World's transportation systems are being returned to full capacity. The Skyliner is now loading multiple groups per cabin again, which is a significant departure from the reopening plan that saw just one group per cabin, even if that were only a single rider. Man, I loved that.
Oh, I bet.
I loved not having to ride the Skyliner with strangers. At the Magic Kingdom ferry boat, social distancing markers are being removed on board the boats. No changes have yet been made to the monorail or buses, but we have been told, this is WDW Magic reporting, we have been told that over the coming days we can expect to see a significant increase in their capacity. Now, I don't know if you've seen what the monorails currently look like, but they have, like, sections and they're, like, blocked off with, like, plastic.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yep.
Although capacity is being raised, requirements for masks when onboard transportation currently remain. Now, this makes me think that the mask mandate is going to be eased pretty soon.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah. Okay, no resort news, no water park news, no Disney Spring news, no Magic Kingdom news even. But we're going to Epcot for some news.
Good.
The Harmonious barges are being painted. How do you feel about these barges?
You know, I think I've read that like there's some like outrage over them. I don't know. Like until we see the show, it's...
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of like Disney outrage, Disney fan outrage about calling them an eyesore. Or, you know, like just, oh, now I can't see the American Adventure from Future World. Well, take 5 steps to the right. You'll be able to see it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
I don't either, especially when it's a fountain.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the show is going to be like.
But not even just the show. Like, the barges during the day are going to be like a living fountain, which should be tremendous. I mean, with that Stargate. So they are now painting the barges. The massive central platform that contains the large ring structure is having almost every surface painted a deep black. All the pipework, electrical panels, and even the air conditioning handlers are being painted. It's going goth. The black paint appears to be addressing a number of issues, including better weathering performance, improving the daytime appearance, and likely reducing the visibility of the hardware after dark during the show. All right, buckle up, buddy, because we got some news about the Creation Shop, the mouse gear replacement.
Okay.
All right. Lead Epcot Imagineer Zach Ridley has taken to Instagram this evening to offer a closer look at the upcoming Creation Shop coming to Epcot this summer. The piece of concept art offers a new angle of the building, providing a view of the former Mouse Gear and Innovations East building. In his post, Zach said, "In the design of Creation Shop, we knew we would be working to restore an existing building. Our goal was to use this original geometry to our advantage, streamlining the facade and emphasizing the rhythm of vertical columns or ribs, as we like to refer to them. As you can see in some of these original drawings and buildings, building sections, the space was always intended to be open and give flexibility to the program featured inside. We are bringing that openness back into our new designs as part of our new Epcot aesthetic." And there's a couple of, concept art pictures, but most of them look like they're outside. He goes on to say, "By simplifying the facades and emphasizing the beams between the columns, we'll create an uninterrupted lines that will draw your eye from front to back. And these beams also give us space to integrate lighting and air conditioning for a seamless and functional look to the space." So they've got these like beams that are running overhead, like in the ceiling and stuff like that. They actually look like ribs. My thought is this looks like Target.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Morocco Pavilion. The Morocco Pavilion is instituting a number of improvements since Disney has taken it over from a third-party company. So, in the main courtyard at the front of the pavilion, walls are up and a section of concrete has been removed in front of the quick-service restaurant. Alongside Spice Road Table, the pink concrete is being removed and replaced with a much more rustic design. More of the concrete is being sectioned up for removal. Elsewhere at the pavilion, more signage is being installed as Disney continues its takeover. So you got an Art of Henna sign, you got an Oasis Sweets and Sips sign, you got a carpet store sign. Another sign that was installed as part of these updates that has some typeface and translation errors has been removed and will presumably return when corrected. Of course, they also removed a very suggestive landmark that was in Morocco.
Oh.
Yeah. They redesigned it so that okay. It's less suggestive.
Repurposed it.
Yes, repurposed it.
You think Disney's mad they have to take this over?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they really are.
I would think so also.
I would, yeah. All right, DAC News, Animal Kingdom. Celebration of Festival of the Lion King has added new shows earlier in the day. There are now 6 shows per day, with the first beginning at 10:30 a.m. and the last show of the day beginning at 5 p.m. When the show reopened last month, the first show was at 12:30 p.m. and the final show was at 7. So now the new shows are 10:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., and 5 p.m. So there you go. They kind of like shifted it a little bit. Took away the late night one. And that's the news this week.
Not much news.
Not a lot, but we covered a lot last week. So we are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to put our walking shoes on, hear from our wonderful sponsors, and be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weicker of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and Dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. Hello, humans! My name is Morty Monster, and I'm... I'm a monster. I'm here as an exchange student from the Monster World, where growing up I fell in love with the world of human pop culture. Unfortunately, not a lot of monsters share that passion, so I came here to experience all of these things that I love and to share that passion with all of you. I do this through my YouTube channel with regular video blogs. One of my favorite things to do is film while in the theme parks of Orlando, Florida. Join me in Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, and more. I'll also be reviewing comic books, web videos, TV shows, movies, and other awesome stuff. Find me on Facebook at facebook.com/MortyMonster. I'm on Instagram as MortyMonster and Friends. From there, you can find a link to my YouTube videos. Please like, subscribe, love, sign up for notifications and more for all the Morty content. I can't wait to share my adventures with all of you, Morty Monster!
This is Bill Farmer, and you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse.
Folks, get on your walking shoes, because it's once again time to travel the world together. That means we are taking a trip through Walt Disney World with the Two Men and the Mouse Walt Disney World Walking Tour. When we last left our heroes, that's us, we're our heroes.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, like we're basically Batman and Robin at this point.
Cool.
Like from the 60s show. We'll let people decide who's Batman and who's Robin.
Yeah.
Instead of arguing over that. When last we left our heroes, we were traveling through Future World. We worked our way through most of Future World West with one notable exception. Do you know what's next? Use your imagination. because this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are continuing the Two Men and the Mouse Walt Disney World walking tour. Did you like that Use Your Imagination little lead?
I did.
Yeah, right?
I did.
So we ended with the land last time. I believe the last thing we talked about was the Sunshine Seasons and how we don't really eat there anymore. So now we're walking out of there. We're walking out. We're exiting back out into Future World West. And the first thing we're going to pass are two food locations, one on your right, the other on your left. The first one on your right, it's got like pretzels and stuff like that, but it's got a lot of healthy options. So the more health conscious might want to stop here. There's fruit, stuff like that. Now, over on the left, you've got a popcorn stand. Now, this is one of my favorite popcorn. This is probably my favorite popcorn stand.
I've never gotten popcorn there.
It's really good because they have the three specialty flavors, or at least they did. I'm not really sure if they have them currently, but they had cheddar cheese, buffalo blue cheese, and chives and sour cream flavored popcorn. Also, okay. Right now, depending on the day you go there, there might be people giving out free applesauce packs.
Okay.
Yeah, Disney is apparently like working with this like third-party company that is trying to like, you know, promote its applesauce. And so you can literally walk up and get like a little packet, like a squeeze packet of applesauce, which is actually very refreshing on a hot day.
Hmm.
Yeah, right? I'm going to assume you're not an applesauce guy.
That's not true. I actually don't dislike applesauce.
Oh, okay.
But I don't necessarily love things in squeeze packages, a la Go-Gurt. Not a huge fan of that.
It is kind of a Go-Gurt-y kind of gimmick there. But it's like a Capri Sun bag almost. Like,
okay.
You just kind of squeeze it into your mouth.
Hmm. All right.
All right. So, but, you know, we're not going to waste time here. Maybe we'll get some popcorn and eat it, but we're going right to Journey to Imagination. But before we get over there, I do want to point out that, you know, a character spot that is currently going on in this area, you will occasionally find Winnie the Pooh off on the area, the grassy area by Journey to Imagination. He's usually out there with a butterfly net, just kind of playing on the grass. And I really like that, actually.
Yeah, I do, too.
And right now for Flower and Garden, the Butterfly Garden has actually been relocated to this area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so if you want to go inside and you know, you're not terrified of butterflies, there are people that are.
My daughter is not a butterfly fan.
Oh, my God, dude. Yesterday at SeaWorld, like, we're sitting there getting ready for, I think it was the dolphin show, and there was this butterfly that I swear to God was the size of my hand. And it was just kind of flying around, and I'm like, with my luck with animals, this thing is going to fly directly at my face. And, you know, we're just kind of sitting there and, like, watching it, like, flap its wings about. And everyone's like, oh, what a majestic butterfly. And then it flies right at my face. And so I kind of, like, threw my hands up and then it, like, banked left at the last second. But, like, I was saying to my girlfriend, I'm like, could you imagine if, like, I panicked and just, like smacked that thing out of the sky, like all the people around us would have like thrown things at me, like, oh, it would have been terrible.
Well it's funny you say that. So we, years ago when Abby was little, we went to the zoo and they had a butterfly exhibit, and you can walk through this butterfly house and they would like land on you.
Oh no,
they're these little like butterflies, they're so cute. So I take the kids, we're in this house, right? And then my wife and I come to the realization, my daughter does not like butterflies at all. We didn't know this, but butterflies are landing on her and she is trying to actively swat them. And I'm like, no, no, no. And she's so little, you know,
right?
What I mean? We're like, nope. I'm like, I just like picked her up and kind of held her arms. And I'm like, nah, we'll just leave. Me and you will just get out of here. But I mean, still to this day,
she'll like,
no, not a fan. Butterflies, you know, and birds. My daughter is not a birds person.
Who's a bird person?
I mean, I don't dislike birds.
Oh, my God. No. Like, I'm with your daughter on this one.
You know what's,
like,
pretty funny, too? The bird, I won't say hatred because that's harsh, but the bird dislike.
Oh, no, hatred.
It stems from Disney World, believe it or not.
Her hatred of birds. Okay.
Yes. We actually had a bird incident in Animal Kingdom where a bird stole her hot dog.
Okay.
This is a true story. I was sitting right there.
What kind of bird?
You know, geez, I really should know my birds, right? But I don't. It's like one of those, they have like the long bill.
Oh, yeah. The ones that look like they sound like Edwin from Alice in Wonderland.
This bird literally, like, her hot dog like rolled off of her bun and was kind of like on the tray. And a bird came and stole her hot dog.
Excuse me, are you done with this? Can I have it, please?
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. And then there was another bird that got too close to Abby for her comfort.
Yeah.
But
bird just took the hot dog and ran, right?
Wow. Birds, butterflies.
Dude, birds are not fun. They're not fun to be around.
I don't dislike birds, but
I heartily dislike birds. Like, look, some birds, I'm like, oh, cool, it's, like, majestic, and I'll watch it from a distance. But, like, when, you know, when they get too close with me, like, when owls hit me in the face, like, these are, you know, things that, and not for nothing, like, I walk 4 miles a day outside my apartment. I've got this, like, walking trail that I kind of do for 4 miles. There is this family of just these giant murder birds that are, like, have you ever seen in Florida? They're, oh God, I always forget their name, what they call them, what they're called. But, like, they're, like, waist high, like, probably taller than waist high. They've got, like, long, sharp beaks. They're, like, gray with, like, a red top on their head.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Dude, I have to walk past them sometimes, and I'm always just, like, ready for a fight. Like, I'm just, like, come at me, murder birds. Like,
this is why you've been studying the martial arts.
This is why I take Kung Fu to defend myself against these birds.
Right. But do you tell them that? When you're at Kung Fu, do you explain to them? Do you ever ask, like, why are you taking this class?
To fight birds.
And you're like, oh, birds.
You know. Literally for the sole purpose of fighting birds. But I'm not taking, like, crane style or anything like that. I'm doing praying mantis style.
Right, because you want to counter them, not match them.
Correct. I don't want to become the bird. I don't want to move like the bird,
right,
or even understand the bird. I'm not interested in that. Anyway, we got off on it. But ducks, yep, love ducks. Ducks,
yeah,
are great.
That.
Ducks are great. They're like barely birds. All right, so Journey into Imagination with Figment. This is actually the third incarnation of this attraction. Of course, the centerpiece of it is the One Little Spark song composed by the legendary Sherman Brothers. This was composed for the original Journey to Imagination attraction. The original version of the song was performed by the audio animatronic characters, the Dreamfinder, voiced by Chuck McCann, and his creation Figment, who at the time was voiced by Bill Barty. The 2002 version, which is the version that is currently there, is performed by Dr. Nigel Channing, played by Eric Idle, who Disney fans are probably not too thrilled with at the moment. Did you hear, like, he made, like, some comments about, like, not liking Figment or not liking...
Oh, yeah, I think I heard this.
I don't even remember what it was, but it was, like, enough where I was just like, wow. All right, now it's really time to replace this. With Figment, who... And now, this is something I never knew. This is something I learned this week. Do you know who voices Figment in the new version or the current version? Dave Goles, the voice of Gonzo from The Muppets.
Interesting.
I would never have guessed.
Hmm.
And I can't, like, it's such a, the voice is so different from Gonzo that I'm like, I can't even, like, put that together. But I'm all for it. So the original attraction opened in 1983, March 15th, 1983 to be exact. It was the creation of Tony Baxter and Steve Kirk. It begins with an Omnimover vehicle, which is floating, quote unquote, in the clouds. And you see the silhouette of a big blimp that's mixed with a vacuum cleaner. And you hear humming and singing of the pilot. In the next scene, you come right next to the vessel and the pilot, and you find an old man with a red beard, dressed in a blue suit and a top hat, who introduces himself as the Dreamfinder. I'm the Dreamfinder! It's not a bad Dreamfinder.
That's pretty good.
He says that he uses this vehicle, which is called the Dreammobile, or Dreamcatcher by some fans, to collect the dreams and ideas and create all sorts of new things. All right, so soon he creates a figment of his imagination. From two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fellow. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment. And then he creates Figment. So Dreamfinder and Figment then imagine things to fill the idea bag. When the idea bag is full, Dreamfinder declares that the ideas need to be emptied into the dream port, which he says is never far away when you use your imagination. All right, so regarding the scene where Figment is introduced, Imagineer Tony Baxter said, "If you're telling the story of the Little Mermaid or Snow White, everyone already knows who they are, what they talk like, how they sing, etc. But in a ride-like imagination, you're not familiar with the characters going into it. The opening scene allows you to meet the Dreamfinder, understand how he created Figment, and get to know Figment's personality, so at the end of those 4 minutes, you know the characters. And I think that it succeeds in this regard.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Now, the Omnimovers then leave the Dreammobile and enter the Dreamport storage room. There's a massive contraption for sorting ideas, and in the room there are numerous objects, including boxed applause, a plasma ball, and a birdcage of musical notes. And after leaving that room, the ride goes through several rooms that represent art, literature, and the performing arts and science. The art room was white-colored and had a large painting Dreamfinder was making using a fiber-optic paintbrush, a carousel with giant carousel animals, and a pot of rainbows that Figment was holding. The literature room was mostly focused on suspenseful tales and had Dreamfinder playing a huge organ with words coming out of it. And the words turned into their meaning. A massive book featuring the raven from Edgar Allan Poe's poem, cawing menacingly, and books of horrible monsters Figment tries to keep closed. That's terrifying.
Sounds awesome, though.
I don't really want Edgar Allan Poe in my Disney ride.
Yeah.
Get too close, you'll get tuberculosis and die. Because everyone he knew died of tuberculosis. It's, like, really weird. Like, his mother, his wife, or girlfriend, or, like, everyone. Everyone in his life died of tuberculosis. But then again, pretty much everybody back then probably did. The performing arts room had Figment trying on costumes backstage, while Dreamfinder conducted a laser light show like an orchestra conductor. And in the last of the rooms, science, there was a large machine the Dreamfinder was operating that took a closer look at the workings of nature, such as the growth of plants, the formation of crystals from minerals, and looking into space. So at the end of the attraction, Dreamfinder would tell Figment and the audience that the imagination is the key to unlocking all the hidden wonders of the world. The ride then enters the final show scene. As the rider's pictures were taken, you see Figment surrounded by several movie screens of him being a scientist, a mountain climber, a pirate, a superhero, a tap dancer, a ship captain, a cowboy, and an athlete. Dreamfinder, from behind the movie camera, gives the riders one last inspiring message and tells them to use their newfound sparks of imagination in the image works. And the on-ride photo is then shown on a screen next to the camera. So let me tell you something. Did you ever ride this original version?
I did not.
I did. My dad and I did it. And, all right, we romanticized it a lot. But, like, toward, like, the turn of the century, it was pretty tired and kind of, like, not great anymore for people.
Yeah, I mean, come on. There had to be a reason why they were like, let's redo this.
Look, at the end of that ride, when you see the people's pictures, everybody looks incredibly bored. And, like, like, my dad and I talk about it all the time, how, like, all these pictures are coming up and everyone just looks bored and miserable. That being said, I love the characters of Dreamfinder and Figment, and I would love an attraction with them back.
Right. Just a better one.
Right. All right. So then the ride exited into the Image Works, which was at the time an interactive playground where guests could play using their imaginations. Those activities included interactive exhibits, and we'll get to that later a little bit more when we talk about the Image Works. All right. So 1999 to 2001, not a very long period of time. We get Journey into Your Imagination, not with Figment. Opened October 1st, 1999. Closed October 8th, 2001. 2 years for this attraction. That's got to be a record, right? Of, like, shortest-lived Disney attraction?
Maybe.
All right. So the attraction reopened and featured an updated theme based on the 3D movie Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. Now guests would take a tour of the Imagination Institute and be test subjects for the new invention, the Imagination Scanner. And you were taken through this by Dr. Nigel Channing, played by Eric Idle. All the Nigel Channing, none of the Figment. That sounds like a great time, right?
Oof.
Right. The ride began with guests going through the scanner. And then Nigel Channing would say that the guests have no imagination, which is kind of insulting. He then decides to send you through a number of labs throughout the Institute, including sound, illusion, color, gravity, and connections. In the first room, sound, the room starts out in total silence and complete darkness. Slowly, one can hear the sounds of crickets chirping and a bunch of other sounds until the approaching train comes in closer and closer until it appears to pass over the audience's heads, much like it does right now, except it has Figment in it, so that's better. And then, you know, you go through a number of other rooms. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because it was such a flop. Reception to Journey into Your Imagination was largely negative from guests and critics. Figment's appearances in the experience were reduced to cameos in the Q movies and a constellation in the Connection Lab at the end of the ride, where he's only heard, but is then shooed off by Dr. Nigel Channing. So they bring Figment in, and then Nigel Channing's like, no, get out of here. This character that everyone hates, getting rid of the character that everybody loves.
Ugh.
Do you think there's a more reviled Disney character than Dr. Nigel Channing?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, who do you think? Like,
probably
park,
not active.
Like,
probably
like not a movie character. We're not talking IP here, but like park specific character.
Yeah. Do you think? Probably not currently. I mean, if there was one, I would have to think they got rid of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I feel like it might be a toss up between him and the guy in Pandora. Fly. But that guy's not with you through the whole attraction.
Yeah.
So,
true.
Like, that guy does his thing for, you know, way too long.
And then the attraction's leaves. Pretty great. So,
yeah.
You're kind of okay with it after.
Yes. Yeah, so I think Dr. Nigel. Because then, like, not only does, like, Nigel Channing, like, annoy you through the entire thing, not only is he played by an actor who's a jerk, but then, like, at the end of it, he haunts your nightmares by transforming into a creepy moonhead.
What would you know is my least favorite part?
It's everybody's least favorite part.
Which is funny because it's also next to my favorite part because my favorite Figment is him in the space helmet.
Right, when he's like pointing with his thumb at the moon,
yeah.
Like, can you believe they let this happen?
It's funny, you know, going back to Flight of Passage, what if you found out that this was actually Disney Imagineering by making this part so frustrating and long that it actually makes your response to the ride so much more?
Because you're like, your expectations are now lowered. It's...
Yeah, and that now when you ride it, you're like, this is great.
Wow. Oh my God. Could you imagine, like, if they're just like, let's really bore people to death for the whole, like, because that pre-show from top to bottom is just wretched.
It's pretty bad.
Like, even when Dr. Jackie Ogden comes in, I'm just like, I'm so bored. I'm so bored by everything you're talking about.
You know, it's funny. Have you heard that? Rise of Resistance was having some things where, like, they were taking people straight kind of to the ride.
Oh my God, really?
I don't want to review it. I don't remember if we, like, I don't want to spoil
for
people.
I'm pretty sure we talked about it. But
yet you skip the entire pre-show and pretty much show up at the Stormtroopers.
Oh my God, that would be terrible.
I know, and I saw that they were doing this. I don't know if it's just to cut down on time or, you know, the ride had broken down, so they want to kind of just get people in there. But I remember thinking, like, wow, this would be great on, like, Flight of Passage.
Hmm.
Like, if we were so backed up, we're just taking people straight to the bikes.
Yeah, for real. All right, so fans were mainly upset that Dreamfinder was not in the attraction. Additionally, the ride path was also drastically shortened due to budgetary issues. Because of this, the attraction closed on October 8th, 2001, and went through another renovation. So then it reopens again in 2002. With its third and current iteration, June 2nd, 2002. So it's not even closed for a year. They managed to, like, retool this attraction with, like, what, October to November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. 8 months.
Yeah, I believe that.
8 months to add Figment in there. The attraction opened for its third and current iteration as Journey into Imagination with Figment. Figment returns in a larger role, appearing in every show scene, and the classic song One Little Spark also returns with new verses. But the Dreamfinder is still absent, of course. This time, the Institute has 5 labs based on the human senses, and Dr. Nigel Channing, Eric Idle, still... invites guests to the Institute's open. Not only is Nigel Channing, like reviled, like, he's been in 3 attractions.
What's the third one?
Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Oh, that's right.
He's a main part of that.
Yep.
So, I mean, I get it. There's, like, symmetry in the Imagination Pavilion, but man, oh man. Like, they really kind of, like, went all in on this.
Well.
Like... can you think of, like, a character that, like, is like Jar Jar Binks? Like, when George thought Jar Jar was going to be, like, it. Like, he's like, this is the future. It all relies on Jar Jar.
I don't think he thought that. He wanted to put something in there for children.
I heard that, like, he thought that Jar Jar was going to be, like, the biggest thing ever.
Come on, no way.
I've heard that in multiple interviews that he thought that Jar Jar was going to be, like, a huge addition to the Star Wars universe.
I love Jar Jar.
No, you don't.
I do. I'm a Jar Jar guy.
You don't like 3PO, but you like Jar Jar?
It's because of that actually I like Jar Jar. I
explain,
feel like people,
justify.
You know what? Like, I'm of the age that I saw Star Wars and the sequels when I was a child.
Right.
And then when the prequels came out, people were just like, how could they have Jar Jar in there? Like, they wanted the movies to grow up with them, not to be for the kids of 1999. And I'm like, no, this is a kid's movie. Like, you have Darth Maul. Like, kids have Jar Jar Binks. Like, this movie's done like this on purpose. But people are so self-centered. They want it to be for them. And it's not how it is. Like, these Star Wars movies are like space opera, you know? Like, there has to be something in there for, like, children.
I agree with you about things being for kids. I do agree with you on that.
I hate that George let fans kind of, like, you know, bully him out of having Jar Jar, like, in the other movies. And I desperately hate the way they kind of just did Jar Jar dirty in the books for his final fate. And if you
what did they do with him in the books?
He becomes like kind of like a jester, like on the street, and it's just terrible. Although the rumor was that Jar Jar was written into that original script for the Obi-Wan show.
Oh my god.
They've since shortened it from, I believe, 8 episodes to 6. So I mean, who knows?
Like, I did see Ahmed Best listed in the cast list.
Oh, I'm so in, dude. Like, please give Jar Jar some.
I would enjoy it just to kind of watch the heads all explode.
Oh, yeah.
But, whatever Jar Jar's fate was in the books, that's not canon anymore.
No, actually, I believe it is canon. This is post Disney acquiring Lucasfilm.
Oh, that's sad.
It's terrible. All because fans like to poo-poo the character. Get it.
They also said that there's going to be a droid character that we're all familiar with. That's going to be...
I remember that.
So who do you think that's going to be? Because it's not going to be 3PO or R2. I think it's going to be Chopper.
Totally in if it is Chopper. I saw that they have a working Chopper. So it could be.
I think... who else would it be? Other than like Captain RX-24, which, by the way, all in.
Oh, 100%. That would be the real dream.
Real Captain Rex team up.
Yeah, that would be the best episode ever.
I'm in.
Well, I don't know. Listen, I whenever they say stuff like that, I no longer give it real credence, just because the day that they were doing the Rogue One like cast, and they were like, forgetting the actor's name, but they were like, you know, he plays a character that Star Wars fans are all familiar with, and I'm like, oh man, we thought it was Captain Panaka or something really cool. No, it's Saw Gerrera. You know, from those three episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah, but you know what? Since then, Saw Gerrera is
he's everywhere.
In everything.
My least favorite Star Wars character.
Everyone's least favorite Star Wars character is Saw Gerrera.
Oh,
when he popped up in Bad Batch, I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, no more Saw Gerrera.
They
please.
Were like, oh, we've got a friend that we're going to go see. Oh, cool. Who's this going to be? Is it going to be Rex? Is it it's Saw Gerrera.
Oh,
he did. Wait, am I thinking of the right thing? He did pop up in Bad Batch, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No, the friend they went to see was the clone that had like left.
Yeah, the deserter.
Deserter, yeah. But Saw Gerrera was still in it, and I was just like so disappointed by that. He's in Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah,
he's in Rebels. He's in Clone Wars. He's in Rogue One. Like, he's everywhere.
Just stop with the Saw Gerrera.
Yes, enough. I like that actor too, but he makes some weird choices. Some weird, weird choices. Okay, so I'm not going to go into like everything that happens in this attraction currently, because people can go see that for themselves. But I will say there was an homage to the initial incarnation with the office in the showroom that says Dean Finder, alluding to Dream Finder. It's a pretty weak softball.
Yep.
Both the 1999 and 2002 versions were created by Tom Fitzgerald, and the Kodak Company entered its sponsorship of the pavilion in August 2010. After nearly 28 years. During the 2020 holiday season, the Figment animatronic was updated with a cyan sweater, which I loved. I loved this sweater. I freaked out. I think I was with Dr. Nicholas Mercer, who was with us two episodes ago, a theme park therapist, and we're like riding through, and I'm like, he's wearing a different sweater. Like, I was so excited by the fact that he was in, like, and the sweater had like the new Epcot logo on it and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
nice.
I really thought that, like, that was here to stay, but he's back in his yellow now.
I know.
So, what's your favorite part of that? Is it when you go to the upside down house? Is it like...
It's a great question.
I love the upside down house.
I like the upside down house too. Although I do like the part where it goes like, where so it falls pitch black, and then, you know, you get the imagination song with all the...
Right.
I don't know. I just like the surprise of it. You know, even though, how many times have I done it? A million.
But. Right. Now, Tony Baxter, the legendary Imagineer, is currently thinking, and he said this in an interview, of redoing the attraction once again after he's now come out of retirement to do the Splash Mountain retheme.
Hmm.
So we might be getting a new Figment attraction after all if Tony Baxter has his way.
I would like that.
Done by the original creator of the attraction. So yeah. I think it would be a real... I would love that.
Me too.
So the 2002 revamp of Journey into Imagination attraction includes several visual elements suggesting that the Imagination Institute is connected to Medfield College, which is the setting of several live-action Disney films. The queue for the attraction passes the offices of Professor Brainerd from The Absent-Minded Professor, although the queue addressed the 1997 live-action remake when the role was played by Robin Williams. Wayne Szalinski from the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids trilogy and Dean Higgins from the Dexter Riley films are also shown. The ride includes further references to the computer wore tennis shoes, with a glass-fronted computer room, including a sign on the door indicating no tennis shoes allowed, as well as a Medfield College letterman's jacket seen inside the room. So then you exit that into the ImageWorks What If Labs. The What If Lab is an interactive exhibit. It's located in the Imagination Pavilion. The original Journey to Imagination described ImageWorks as the creative playground of the future. It was closed in 1998, and the attraction was originally named... Before its 1998 closure, it was originally named ImageWorks. It was located in the upstairs area of the Imagination Pavilion. The What If Labs saw the addition of new interactive musical and digital exhibits. In 1999, the attraction reopened at the exit of Journey into Imagination with Figment. Kodak originally sponsored the What If Labs before ending its sponsorship in 2010. As of early 2012... sponsorship of the area was assumed by Color Vision, a company that operates green screen photo kiosks in many major theme parks. In June of 2016, the ImageWorks staircase area of the Imagination Pavilion reopened as a lounge for Disney Vacation Club members. The original ImageWorks is still believed to be intact as it has been walled off. That's pretty interesting.
That is.
Original attractions were Dreamfinder's School of Drama, the Pin Screen, Stepping Stones, Figment's Coloring Book, the Rainbow Corridor, the Electronic Philharmonic, Kaleidoscopes, Vibrating Mirrors, Voice-Activated Lumia, and Bubble Projectors. And then from 1999 to present, you have the Stepping Tones, which is much like the original. Now, I said Stepping Stones, I think, before. It's Stepping Tones, actually. Now it features picture panels that make sound, Figment's Melody Maker, Create a Figment, and you can play Simon on the wall. You replace the photograph area after Kodak left. So leaving the now, there's lots of Figment stuff in this store. Have you ever bought any Figment related merch in here?
You know, I'm sure I have.
They used to sell the graphic novel of the Figment comic book run.
Oh, that would make sense.
They don't sell it anymore.
I don't know if it's in print anymore.
Yeah, would you still be able to get it? Like if you tried to order it,
I would have to check and see if it's still available.
I'd be interested to know that if you get a chance to find that out. Let me know. Because I actually would be interested in getting a copy of that. The Disney Pixar Short Film Festival is now currently, as you exit ImageWorks, you make a right and you can go up there. They've got the Hopping Fountains, which I've always loved.
Me too.
Especially in Muppets Go to Walt Disney World when Bean Bunny hits it with a lollipop.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite parts of it. He goes, 15 love, and he hits the thing with the lollipop. And then right now it's the Disney Pixar Short Film Festival there, which is rotating Disney shorts, like the shorts that go before the Disney movies.
Right.
Obviously, it changes all the time. Now, originally, this was Captain EO, which was a collaboration between Lucasfilm and Disney, starring none other than Michael Jackson. This was an early 3D movie. It is also terrible.
I don't hate it.
I hated it.
I don't hate it.
I never saw it when it was originally out. I saw it when they brought it back.
Me too.
After Michael Jackson died. And I sat there and I was like, what am I watching right now? What is this?
I remember we went on a trip that Heather got sick for a couple days on. It was the last 2 days of the trip. So I ended up doing Epcot and Magic Kingdom with just the kids. And we had like such a weird time. Like I'll always remember those 2 days because we were like kind of like just like doing a lot of hanging. I can literally, the jumping fountains, I can remember hanging out by them because my kids were fascinated by them. Oh, yeah. But we ended up doing Captain EO, And I was like, I have to do this. And I knew my wife would never want to. I liked it, but I liked it because it was terrible, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, so after Captain EO, and then again before it, was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which was another interactive 3D show featuring the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise. I believe it takes place after the second movie, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. And then it became Captain EO again, and then Captain EO closed down, and now it's the Disney Pixar Short Film Festival. The Walkway Tour World Showcase features a few cool locations, if you want to take a look here. First of all, you got a lot of festival kiosks here.
Right.
I think during Food and Wine, it's usually like a wine and cheese is kind of there. Then they have the one like over toward the World Showcase Lagoon as you kind of enter into the World Showcase Promenade. There's also a playground there that it gets themed to each festival, which is pretty neat. We are going to pass by World Showcase on our way to Future World East now. So we're going to pass the Disney Traders, which is two locations. There's a fuel rod refill in one of them. And you can also, this is also where you get your scavenger hunt maps, and then you can get your prize for completing the scavenger hunts. You've got a character meet and greet location there on your left, which will feature, which currently features Daisy Duck, sometimes features Pluto, and used to feature Duffy the Disney Bear.
Duffy.
We loved Duffy.
Yep.
That was a big loss when he left.
I still don't understand it, to be honest with you, but okay.
You know what? What other like park specific character had its own like character meet and greet?
That, and you were making Duffy into like an Epcot thing.
Yeah,
which was great.
Yeah, loved it to death. No, well, you could still see Duffy if you go to Tokyo or Shanghai or Hong Kong
or Hawaii.
He's in Hawaii too.
Yeah, I know they have like the other characters there also.
That's cool.
Like, why is there no like Figment meet and greet?
There used to be, so there were two different kinds of Figment meet and greets. You had a character meet, like a regular walk around character as Figment, and then you had a face character of the Dreamfinder who had a false arm holding a puppet Figment that he then puppeteered. Which, I mean, that's way cooler.
Yeah. Now listen, I get we're never getting that, but why don't I just have like a Figment, like, you know, 24/7 like meet and greet, like they had Duffy? It doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah,
Epcot,
I mean,
like he's like part of your brand,
right? Like, put him right there in the What If Lab,
right?
Instead, they typically have Wreck It Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz there.
Yep.
When that's a thing. Oh, also by that walkway at a World Showcase, they now have new restrooms and a Starbucks location there as well. So, exciting stuff. The Odyssey Building, as we move into Future World East. The Odyssey Building is that big building that everyone's always like, what's that? And then they never go into. It was actually formerly a restaurant that opened with the park in 1982 and eventually became a festival location. The Odyssey opened with the park as the Odyssey Restaurant and hosted a Center for First Aid, Lost Children, and Baby Services. The restaurant featured a stage for live entertainment with Mickey's Rockin' Celebration running from the late 80s until the restaurant's closure in July of 1984. After the restaurant closed, it became a flexible space available for events with occasional seasonal use, referred to as the Odyssey Center by Disney event rental websites.
How bad was this restaurant that it closed in 1984?
1994.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, woof, like that's crazy. Like
it opened in 1982, closed in 1994.
Okay. 12-year run.
Yeah. But I mean, with all the restaurants and World Showcase, who was going there?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Right.
In 2016, it became regularly reused for Epcot's festivals, operating during the Food and Wine Festival and the holidays. It was officially rebranded as the Odyssey Festival Center for the 2017 debut of the Festival of the Arts, where it has served as an art gallery. In 2019, it was revealed that the Odyssey would house the Epcot Experience Center, a preview space for the park's massive expansion project. The Experience Center is essentially an expanded version of the D23 Expo's 2019 Epcot display. With the park model surrounded by a screen showcasing new attractions coming to the park with projection mapping, transforming the surfaces of the model for each new presentation. Photo opportunities based on the new attractions are also featured. Now, in the Epcot Experience Center, you have exhibits that are going to be the main focus of the preview center, except for DuckTales World Showcase Adventure and Space 2020 Restaurant. The current festival center hypes World Celebration, World Discovery, World Nature, World Showcase, Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, the Play Pavilion, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, Wondrous China, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, and Harmonious. Former exhibits include Spaceship Earth, Our Shared Story, and Mary Poppins. Those are, I guess, currently not happening.
Yeah, probably not.
Thank the Phoenicians for that. Well, no, thank COVID-19 and, you know, for that. But Taste Track, as we move into Future World East, formerly a grilled cheese sandwich location, which I loved. I loved when Taste Track was all grilled cheese sandwiches.
Hmm, okay.
Fantastic. What a great idea. Then it became where you would get the cronut. Now it's kind of like, now Taste Track kind of revolves when it comes to festivals. All different things, you know, based on what's going on. You've also got the Coca-Cola cooldown station right there, which is always looks super cool. It's like that, like, it's like that car with all the Coca-Cola stuff in it.
Yeah, we got a slushie there last time.
Yeah, it's a good place for that. All right, so our last stop on our tour for today is going to be Test Track, your favorite.
Okay.
Officially opened on March 17th, 1999, with soft openings in December of 1998, the highlight of this attraction is a speed trial on a track around the exterior of the building at a top speed of 64.9 miles per hour, which is 104.4 kilometers per hour, making it the fastest Disney theme park attraction ever built. Now, when it first opened up, it was Test Track presented by General Motors. This is from March 1999 to April 2012. World of Motion was the attraction that was located in the current building of Test Track and was sponsored by General Motors. When the sponsorship expired, GM was in the process of conducting layoffs and cutbacks, forcing the company to question whether or not to sign another sponsorship agreement. Upon deciding to sign another agreement, GM wanted Disney to construct a new ride on the site of World of Motion. The new ride would focus specifically around automobiles rather than fanciful histories of transportation from prehistoric to the modern ages. In 1976, Disney Imagineers had visited General Motors' Milford Proving Ground. The Imagineers later made a second trip to the facility as they designed Test Track. After numerous problems encountered during the construction of the ride, Test Track opened in 1999, a full 2 years after it was originally planned to debut. So everything inside the ride building was removed from World of Motion. The elevated track was already being constructed outside and behind the building, part of the high-speed test portion of the ride. Work outside the building began in fall of 1995, while work inside the building began in the spring of 1996. The ride was scheduled to open 29 months after World of Motion's closing in May of 97. But after numerous problems rose, the ride opening was delayed by nearly 2 years. The cars used on the ride were designed to resemble the look of a test car that is used to go through multiple safety tests. Throughout the construction of Test Track, numerous problems occurred, causing delays in the ride opening. After failing to open as scheduled in May of 97, park officials announced on October 15, 1997, that the opening was delayed until at least sometime in 1998. The first problem that Imagineers had to overcome was that the wheels used in the ride vehicles could not stand up to the demand of the ride, that being the speed that it has to reach. The problem was resolved, but a second, more critical issue caused the ride to be delayed by over a year. For Test Track to run with the highest hourly capacity possible, 29 ride vehicles would be needed. The ride programming system could only handle a maximum of 6 cars over the layout of the ride, and the system suffered frequent software crashes. This is crazy.
Yeah.
The original software was scrapped, and eventually programmers were able to get the computer system able to run 29 ride vehicles at once. Despite some rumors about rain affecting the outdoor segment, park officials assured that weather issues were not a factor in the delay. After the problems were resolved, Test Track soft opened to the public in 1998. The ride was still prone to breakdowns and did not officially open until March 17, 1999. Even after its grand opening, the ride still suffered from frequent downtime, although efficiency gradually improved. Shortly after its opening, to improve capacity, Test Track was one of the first rides at Disney Parks to employ a dedicated single rider line, which it still uses to this day. The 6-seated cars were often left with empty seats, as most riders arrived in parties of 2 or 4. The single rider line helped each car leave full and reduce queues. In November 1999, Epcot added Fast Pass for Test Track. So, a lot of history there in Test Track.
Yeah.
The current version is Test Track presented by Chevrolet. That was from December 2012 to the present. This was announced on January 6, 2012. They said they're going to renovate Test Track during the second and third quarters of the year and reopen the ride by fall 2012. As... part of the update, Test Track's sponsor became General Motors Chevrolet Marquis instead of General Motors as a whole. The new additions included a pre-show area where guests design a new car for testing in the Chevrolet Design Center, and the board test tracks existing six-passenger vehicles to be known as sim cars to see how their design fares on the center's driving course. The experience concludes in a renovated showroom featuring current and future Chevrolet products. The ride vehicles were repainted, and while the track was unchanged, the setting was overhauled. On April 27, 2012, Walt Disney's social media manager released a set of concept design photos. Within the photos, it was confirmed the ride will have four main tests: capability, efficiency, responsiveness, and power. The ride closed on April 15, 2012, a day after my birthday, and soon later, barriers were placed along all walkways leading into either the entrance or exit of the ride. Also, a musical show called Test Track All-Stars was added in front of the former main entrance test track, which closed on December 4, 2012. The refurbished attraction first opened to guests during a soft opening on December 3rd, 2012. The grand reopening took place on December 6th, 2012. So they got it open within the year. That's actually impressive.
Yeah.
Because that was a big overhaul.
It is. But, I mean, they weren't changing the track, you know?
That's also true. Do you miss the crash test dummies?
I did like the merchandise that had Goofy as the dummy.
Yeah.
But not really.
Okay, I mean, I know you were a big fan of the original test track.
I love it, and I love the new one, too, because I love Tron, and let's face it, it just looks like Tron.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I have never ridden the original test track.
Really?
Yeah, never rode it.
I feel like you've told me that before, and every time I'm shocked.
Yep. It was, I don't know why, but my first test track experience was the new one, and wow. I do enjoy it very much. So after you get off the ride, guests can use their Magic Band ticket or design key that has their Chevy custom concept vehicle and use it in the showroom to play games and make an ad. In the showroom, guests can also check out some of the newest Chevrolet vehicles, take virtual photos with their custom design cars, and make SIM car cards with their cards using their Magic Band ticket or design key. There's also a gift shop located at the exit, much like the original version of the ride. Many World of Motion logos can be found throughout the attraction. These logos are references to the old attraction and can be found on trash bins, murals, and the attraction's main sign. And that is where we're going to leave it off this week. We're going to pick up next time talking a bit about World of Motion. And then we're going to move through the rest of World Showcase East before moving on to World Showcase.
Nice.
Before moving on to Hollywood Studios. Before moving on to Animal Kingdom. Before then we're finally done with this. No, I'm kidding. I do enjoy these. They're just very labor intensive. So that's the tour this week. What do you think?
I loved it.
I loved it, too. I love doing the tour, even though I just said we'll finally be done with this. I love doing the tour. It's a lot of talking and a lot of research, but I always love doing. I learn something new each time. Like I learned
Me, too.
A lot
That's
of
why
new,
I love it.
Yeah, I learned a lot of new things about Test Track this week. I learned a lot. I learned about Dave Goles being the voice of Figment, which I nerded out for. You know, we got to talk about Dr. Nigel Channing being just the absolute worst. I gotta find like the actual quote of what he said about the ride, because it was like, I remember it being like someone asked him about working with Figment. He's like, "You all know the bloody dragon isn't really there, right?" Like he was just really bitter and angry, and none of that needed. You gotta be more like Cal David, the voice of Sunny Eclipse, who loves Sunny Eclipse.
Awesome
guy, stand up guy. All right, so anything else you wanted to add this week? Anything you're watching or?
Huh? No, not really.
My girlfriend and I got into Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings. Like, we've been watching that a lot.
Okay, I watched, like when that was actually on television.
Yeah.
I watched maybe about 5 or 6 episodes. I liked it.
Yeah, I've been watching it on Disney Plus. It's interesting. It's really interesting. It's got me wanting to go on a Disney cruise.
And not me.
I know, not you, but I've wanted to go for a while, but now I really want to go. So, I think that's going to be a goal for, like, the next year, whenever cruises come back. Mighty Ducks Game Changers ended this past week.
Was it a great ending?
Oh, of course it was. Ducks fly together, Pete. They always do.
Were you happy with it?
I was very happy with it. You know, there were some tears, maybe a few.
Okay.
You know what I was? So my girlfriend had never seen The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, like the original, like old cartoon. So I made her watch it. And then she made me watch Christopher Robin for the first time.
And you were like, oh, Christopher Robin. Okay.
Now, you know that like I have not ever seen Christopher Robin because I was afraid of it. Because right. I'm like, this movie's going to be, there's no way this is not a ugly cry movie. And I only cried four times.
There you go. That's not bad.
Yeah, not terrible.
More importantly, did you watch Cruella?
God, no.
I gotta tell you, I really liked it.
Dude, all right, just tell me this, and we won't.
I thought I was not gonna like it. I did not think the previews looked good. I ended up really enjoying it.
We won't go into spoiler territory here, but is this a movie that's gonna try to tell me that the woman who wanted to kill 100 puppies to make a coat is actually the hero all along?
I won't go so far as to say she's the hero all along. But,
dude, I can't. Know. After Maleficent burned me, so I didn't even see the second Maleficent.
I saw it once in the theater. I liked it.
When she gives Aurora true love's kiss, I was just like, I'm done forever.
You have to understand that these movies are just, and this movie does it also. They're reinventing the 101 Dalmatians wheel. You know.
Well, it's because they couldn't do a live action 101 Dalmatians because there's one already and it's perfect.
Right, although Glenn Close was very involved in this, wasn't she?
Was she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's rumor of her. She wants to be in the second one. They almost want to do like.
There's going to be a second one?
I think so. They kind of set it up for it, and I'm sure it did really well. I really enjoyed it. Listen, you just have to go into it open-minded. I mean, if you want to enjoy like your villainous coat, you know, dog skinning Cruella, go watch 101 Dalmatians.
All right. All right, I will. Maybe I'll check it out when it's free on Disney Plus, but I'm not going to go spend money to go see it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Or pay $30 to watch it on Disney Plus. Definitely not that.
That's right. What I did.
For you, that makes sense, though.
Right. I have a house full of people watching.
You have a house full of people. I mean, you know, you saved money doing that. I lose money doing it. Loki coming out next week.
Yeah, very excited
very,
about that.
Very, very excited for Loki.
It's funny, my daughter, her birthday is the day Loki comes out, is a 12-year-old girl who's impossible to buy things for, right? Okay. She doesn't really want things. She's like that person. So I was on Disney shopping the other day, and I saw they have Loki mouse ears. Have you seen them?
No.
They're awesome. But I wasn't 100% sure that Abby's like super into Loki. You know what I mean? I know like the Marvel stuff. She's really into the Marvel stuff.
Okay.
So I saw them. I'm like, oh, would you want this? And she's like, yeah. Like her face lit up. I'm like, oh. One birthday present in the bag. Yep. Like I was like, oh, that's something I could actually get you. This is so exciting.
Do they have do they have the horns on them?
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. I'll take a picture of them when they come in.
No, I like that a lot. Yeah, definitely share those with our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse. Number 2 men and the mouse. Very excited for that. I think it's going to get better. It'll be better received than Falcon. Because Falcon and Winter Soldier was not poorly received. I think people think it was because it wasn't like, it didn't like take over pop culture the way WandaVision did. But that's because WandaVision was so different. You know, like, if this had come out the way it was originally supposed to come out with Falcon and Winter Soldier first and then WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier would have gotten a lot more attention.
Listen, Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision both got hit by COVID also.
Yes.
So it's why they both feel a little incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Loki did actually in production. I don't think they had to skip out on anything.
Well, that's good.
So I think this is going to be really good.
Well, Falcon and Winter Soldier was very like middle of the road Marvel for me. Like, which is fine. I love that. I'll watch that forever.
It was Marvel TV. I mean, you know, this isn't cinematic gold.
Yeah, WandaVision was something completely different that kept you guessing the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't wait for Mephisto to show up on Loki.
You think he's gonna?
No, I'm just joking. Because that was what everybody in WandaVision, everybody was like so sure that it was Mephisto behind everything.
Well, I mean, you were going to get the bunny as a demon.
Yeah.
And, you know, they pretty much came out and said that on the Kevin Smith podcast. And they couldn't, apparently, because of COVID, couldn't do the VFX. They shot the whole thing.
Oh, man.
I would think it's the other way around, but apparently it's not. So,
yeah.
All right.
All righty. Well, without any further ado, then, that's going to do it for 2 Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us and for following us along on this tour around the world. We always love doing it and having you guys with us, and we will be doing more of it very, very soon. Folks, if you love our good buddy Peter Mandel, check him out at Rogue Comics over there in Cranford, New Jersey at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or go on to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Universal Orlando. please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weigert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Our buddy Dave Weigert can always be found at, by emailing disneydavew@verizon.net. Also, folks, if you are renting a crib or stroller on that Dave Weigert plan Disney vacation, check out our buddies over at kingdomstrollers.com for your crib and stroller hookup right there to get, rent the crib or stroller of your dreams and have it delivered right to your Disney resort. And for me, please check out my books, the Ross and Annie series, which is Elnora, Birth of the Dark Angel, available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook. Ross and Annie, Rise of the Dragon Lord, the last of the series, is currently in production for audiobook, but everything else currently has an audiobook out on audible.com. If you get an Audible trial, you can actually get one of those books for free. And of course the Morty Monster YouTube show, youtube.com/Morty Monster. We got new videos coming out from Universal Studios very soon. I know I said that last week, but I'm still working on editing them, and more coming from Disney very soon as well. All right. Well, that does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
I'm excited to do it again next week.
Very excited to do it again next week. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us again this and every week, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.